Praise the Lord, church. Today I'm going to be sharing a word with you this evening, and what a powerful service we are having. We can definitely feel the presence of God is in this place, and you know, I'm not anybody special being up here. I am here simply out of obedience to the man of God and to God. And so the Bible tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. So tonight I want to give honor first of all to God, for he has been so good to me and so faithful, and I give him all the glory for that. And I also want to honor Pastor and his family. We are blessed that they are the shepherds of this church, and they are here to help lead us and guide us, and we are very thankful for you, Pastor, and his family. So tonight, my main portion of scripture is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Starting at verse 41, it reads, "And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, given thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in these one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of the visitation." If you can just join me in prayer. God, we come before you, O Lord God, that I pray, God, that you would help me bring forth the word that you have placed within my spirit, O God. And your word is anointed, oh God, and this is your word that's coming out of me, God, a vessel that's going to be used by you tonight, oh God, and I pray that it reaches the hearts of your people, oh God, and that it breathes life into us once more, oh God, and that it stirs something inside of us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. So about a month ago, I was out of town and I was driving home. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And as I was taking a bend on the 101, I saw in the distance the lights of Orchid in Santa Maria. And, you know, something just overcame me. And I can't really say or put into words what I felt or what overcame me. But I definitely could say, I guess, and generalize it, it was definitely a heaviness, an overwhelming spirit of heaviness that just like hit me. And I remember it so vividly because at the time I literally just wanted to like cry out, and like I could feel the tears just forming in my eyes. But you know, I was tired. I wanted to get home. There was people in my car and I didn't want them to see me crying and having to explain, why are you crying for? And so, you know, I kind of just pushed back the tears, and, you know, driving home, I still felt it. And so when I got home and I closed my door, the tears just hit me and they just started flowing down and they wouldn't stop. And I was like, Lord, like, I don't understand. Why am I crying? Like, why am I feeling this way? And why won't the tears just stop, Lord? And I've never heard the voice of God, and I'm not claiming to, but I believe God places things in my spirit that I can recognize it is of him. And as those tears were crying and I was asking God, like, why am I feeling this way, oh Lord? He spoke to me and he said, those tears that are falling down your face right now are because of a burden. And my kingdom needs your tears. And so tonight I want to talk to you on this topic, the kingdom that is in need of weepers. In our Western culture and society, you know, kind of weeping and crying is kind of looked down upon, right? Like, it's not really common. It's looked as a sign of weakness. And, you know, today we have to be strong. We can't show ourselves to be weak. And so most of the time we try not to cry, and, you know, we try not to break down in front of people who are around us. Why? Because we don't want people to think that we're weak or too emotional, but we want to pull ourselves together and be like, no, I'm strong. You know, I don't let my emotions overtake me. And so I think it's safe to say that most of us have experienced that. You know, I'll be the first to admit, just like in my car when there's people with me, I didn't want them to see me crying. So I held back what I was feeling. And so we tried to put on a facade that says everything's okay, that my life is going good, and that everything, that things deep down inside of us with words that we don't explain. And so when we are alone and behind the closed doors, that's when everything kind of breaks loose upon us, where many times we end up dealing with these tears of anger, frustration, pain, guilt and all on our own because we don't want people to see us as emotional. But I've come to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ, who was God in the Old Testament, and he was the same God in the New Testament, who came as a baby boy, he became something that he was never was before, but didn't cease to be everything that he was. And he is the Alpha and Omega, and he's the beginning and the end. And that we know that he was God manifest in the flesh. So when we read in Isaiah 53:3 that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I want to emphasize that, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, in other translation, it kind of reads as a man of suffering and familiar with pain. So just like you and me, Jesus Christ knew what it meant to have sorrows. He knew what it meant to have pain and to endure it. And, you know, I believe that Jesus cried many tears that we don't read about, but there are three distinct times that we read in the New Testament where Jesus wept. The first one was in my scripture reading, which is Luke 19, where Jesus sees the city of Jerusalem and he weeps because he thinks upon the people that would be destroyed and all the lives that would be lost because of the destruction and of the sin that they were in. And the second time we see in John 11:35, which we know is the shortest scripture of the Bible, where Jesus wept. And the context of that is Jesus was out ministering and he heard news that his friend Lazarus had passed away. So when he comes, he sees the family and they're weeping and crying, and Jesus is moved by that, and he's hurt because he sees what pain does to individuals. And so when Jesus visits the tomb of Lazarus, he weeps. And the third instance that we read about is right before the crucifixion, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's fervently praying, so much so that the sweat begins to drop, were like drops of blood falling to the ground. And in Hebrews 5:7, it reads, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. As you can see, the Bible shows us that he, meaning Jesus Christ, was a man of tears. Tonight, if I were to ask some of you, what does it take to be like Jesus? I'm sure many of you would say things like, well, you need to have compassion and you need to be kind and you need to show love. And yes, well, all those things are true, but I truly believe within my spirit that to truly be like Jesus, you need to know what it means to weep. You need to know what it means to live with the burden in your heart for the souls and for those who are around you. And I believe we can see that because we read in Jeremiah 9:1 that, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. This is written by Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. I believe Jeremiah had a revelation and understanding that there was power in his tears. There's power in the weeping. And saints of God, I've come to ask you, how long has it been since you truly wept? I'm not talking about an emotional high where you come and get your blessing and you cry a tear here and there, and while all that is good and it is of God, but I'm talking about when you just come before God where you're truly broken and you may be frustrated in your spirit, and when the burden just begins to overtake you, where you're at a point when all you can do is just fall on your knees and bow in the presence of God and cry out to them. I don't know about you, but that's a powerful time between you and God. I've been there, and I'm telling you, something changes in you, and there's a shifting that takes place when you bring that unto God. He needs a kingdom of weepers. And I believe that God himself is looking down on this service right now, seeing who understands the times that we are living in and who still understands that we need to continually seek his face so that he will intervene on the affairs of this world and of our region and of our churches and of our families. And it's the individual's response to the supplications, just like he did in the days of old. I believe that he's still looking for men and women of God who will catch his passion and share his burden. And let me tell you, the burden that God has is for souls. It's for this lost world. He has a burden, and that burden needs to be transferred unto us, because there are millions of people who do not know him. There are millions of people who are going to a pit of hell if a burden doesn't overtake us where we begin to weep and intercede on their behalf. A kingdom that is in need of weepers. And you see, when that burden, right? Just like Jeremiah the reaping prophet, he prayed unto God that to spare the city for just one, or even when we see Abraham in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said, if you can just find me 50 righteous people, I'll save it. And when Abraham couldn't, he didn't stop, but he pleaded with God. He intervened. He wept for God and said, just let me find another handful. Just let me save my family. Let me save just one. And God did it. And you see, we cannot treat casually that what is all important to God. And it's sad to say that there are people in our day and age who think that we can still have a true heaven-sent revival, and that we can still win souls without the presence of water. And there are those who think we can have an increase and that we can do everything we need to do with quiet prayer rooms, with eyes that are dried, with hearts that are hardened. But I've come to tell you that God placed in my burden, that's not what he needs. He needs your tears, because it still takes the tears. It still takes the water. It still takes brokenness and desperation. It takes living with a passion and a burden within your heart, a hunger for the lost, a hunger for prayer to go into the Holy of Holies. It's a hunger. The kingdom is in need of weepers. In Jesus' name. And, you know, I think it's, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking of kind of the region that we're located in. We're really surrounded by agriculture. And now I'm not claiming to be a farmer or anything like that, because I'm not. But I'm pretty sure you can all agree with me when I say that you can have the best seed and you can have the best soil and you can have just the right amount of sunlight. But if there is no water, no fruit is going to bring forth. If there is no water, that seed is not going to grow. We need the water. Church, the kingdom is in need of your tears. There are people who are in need of your tears, because the kingdom is crying out. It's searching for people who have that burden to weep and to sow and to travail in the spirit on behalf of those who are lost in this world. We need the water. And I believe that is what David was talking about in Psalms 126, 5 through 6. And it reads that, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That tells me it still takes the water. And when you have that water, you can come back and replenish, and that seed's going to continue to grow. But after reading this scripture, something stirred in my spirit, and I kind of interpreted this scripture in my own way, thinking, well, if it says that, imagine if it were to say that he that goeth forth bearing precious seed and having dried eyes and with no burden, then he shall doubtless come again empty-handed. You see, it still takes the water. And I believe that's one of the greatest things that we fail to recognize and that we're missing, is the presence of water. And the kingdom is in need, because there's a lack of tears and there's a lack of water that's reaching heaven. You see, saints of God, we need to come to a point where prayer is something that gets a hold of you, where prayer is something that just grabs you, and you can't explain it, but just the tears just begin to form, and they just run down your face, and you let that fire burn deep inside you. There's something powerful that happens deep down inside your soul when you just come into the presence of God, and you allow yourself to be broken. You say, God, I don't know what it's going to take, God, but I need a move of the Holy Ghost, because there's something powerful when you come with a broken and a contrite spirit before God and say, God, I need you, oh God, that these tears are for you, oh God. I'm weeping because the kingdom is in need of my tears. There's something powerful in prayer, because there is power in prayer. And I believe that power needs to be the first and foremost thing in our lives, amen? Because Jesus was a man of prayer, and he was a man of tears. And as the church is growing, it seems like we can get so many people involved in different areas of the church, which is awesome to see that we're all working for the kingdom of God. But can I be real with you tonight? As a prayer leader, sometimes it hurts my spirit when people don't make the time to come to in-person prayer. Because that needs to be something that just rises within you, just as a child of God, to pray in a united in a corporate setting with other brothers and sisters. Because let me tell you, these Thursday night prayers in person, they are powerful, where God begins to move mightily when we can hear each other's voices, and that God, heaven is hearing our voices. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing with Zoom prayer. I believe it's a great another modality that we can use. But I'm talking about a point that the kingdom is needing people who are willing to bind together in spirit and in truth and intercede on the affairs of this world. You need to be able to get under the burden. And it kind of seems hard to do so, to find people who are willing to get under the burden and to weep and to intercede for the dying world that is around us. And you see, things that grieve the Holy Ghost should also be the same things that grieve us. And that night in my room, as the tears were coming down, I became grieved about some things that God was impressing on my spirit. And he was kind of showing me things that are grieving the Holy Ghost in this day and age. And we're grieved for the former glory and power and authority that the previous church had that is sometimes lacking as the church continues to move forward. We're grieved about some of the lukewarmness, the prayerlessness, and unfaithfulness to the house of God. Grieved that conviction, standards, and programs of this world or of Egypt are starting to slip into the church. Grieved about the lack of fear for God and the lack of reverence for his kingdom. Grieve that as we grow in number, which is awesome to see because we are supposed to grow, the church is to be added to daily, but that we aren't growing spiritually, because I don't know if you realize it or not, it comes easy for people of God to become complacent and comfortable with where they're at. In these last years, I believe God shook the church, obviously, with COVID-19. I believe that was strategically for the church to awaken and to get out of the comfort zone. But we get into this place of comfort and of safety, and that, you know, I'll be the first time I've been there where I would just come to these pews day in and day out and I'll be like, yeah, I went to church, I'm good, yeah, that's about it. But I don't want to go back to that state, and God forgive me if I ever do, and God help me that I don't go back to that. And so you see, like I said, month after month, year after year, we come and we sit on these pews and these chairs and we come to church. And as time goes on, we become dried eyed and we find ourselves with hearts that may have hardened, and we find ourselves being spectators instead of participators in the kingdom of God. And, you know, God help us if we ever become so complacent in our lives or in our walk with God that we say, you know what, I'm saved, my family's saved, I'm good with that, to God be the glory. And we come to a point where we're just satisfied and happy with where we're at, that we forget about the millions of people who have not heard the message. We forget about the millions of people who have not yet been delivered. And some of those millions still include my family. Some of those millions still include my friends. And God help me that if I don't get a burden on their behalf. See, this world, there's so many who don't know that there's a God who's the answer, the solution to all their problems and needs, that he can deliver them from anything in this life. There needs to be a breaking point within us where you cannot take it any longer, where you're just sick and tired of the regular run-of-the-mill, when you're just sick and tired of the status quo. But I'm talking about when the burden just begins to seize you and all you can do is weep, intercede, and travail, because this world is in need of your tears. In this kingdom, God's kingdom, is in need of weepers who know what it means to pray and to pursue the Spirit and in travail on their behalf. Amen. While I was preparing for this, I was reminded of our first year, the Firm Foundations class. We actually went through the book of Nehemiah, and to kind of put it all in a nutshell, Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer for the king. He was very trusted, and he was an honored position to be in. And Nehemiah heard that his homeland was in ruins and that Israel was trembling within her tumbled walls and charred gates, that he couldn't take it anymore. You see, a burden seized Nehemiah. When that burden seized him, what he did, he took it to prayer. He took it to weeping. He took it to fasting. Nehemiah recognized that it was no longer important, that he was the king's trusted cupbearer, that position, fame, and title was irrelevant to the burden that Nehemiah was facing, that was upon him. It gripped him, and he left it all and followed his burden, but it did cost. And it's going to cost you to save your family. It's going to cost you to have revival in church. It's going to cost you to reach this region. And it's going to cost you to save this world. And we kind of see this in Lamentations 2:11, that we read of the prophet's feelings of hopelessness as well as the depth of sorrow that overcomes Jerusalem's destruction. And I'm going to read this verse specifically in the New King James Version. And it says, "My eyes fell with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the city." And jumping down to verses 18 and 19 in the King James Version, it reads, "Their hearts cried unto God, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Let thyself no rest. Let not the apple of the eye cease, but arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift thine hands toward him for the life of thy young children, and thy faint for hunger in the top of every street." You see, church, if you don't pray for the backsliders, who will? If you don't pray for this region, who will? RT, I've come to tell you, it's time to weep for your families. It's time to weep for your church's sake. It's time to weep for your community's sake. It's time to weep for your region's sake, for the kingdom is in need of weepers. Where are the reapers for the kingdom of God? Looking at all the men and women of God, we see that they were mighty. They were mighty in valor, and they were so mighty in battle that we see that they were able to stand against any satanic forces that came upon them. And the Bible says that they were able to subdue kingdoms, that they wrought righteousness. And they were able to shut the mouths of the lions and part the Red Seas. But you know what it took? It weeping. Every one of those men and women of God knew what it meant to war in the spirit. They knew what it meant to war on the floor, where you fall in the presence of God and you weep for the kingdom. They knew that there was power in your tears. So I've come to ask you once again, where are the weepers, RT? Where are those mighty warriors who know what it means to fall on your knees and fall flat in the presence of God? How long has it been since the whole congregation just feels the presence of God and just falls on your knees, travailing in the spirit? How long has it been since the mighty warriors awoken and weep for a mighty apostolic revival like we've never seen before? Where are the weepers who want a powerful move of signs, miracles, and wonders in an apostolic service setting? For there is power in your tears, and the kingdom is in need of weepers. And I know that I'm speaking to mighty men and women. I know. I've been raised in this church. I've seen many of you know how to praise and worship God, and that we are a church who knows how to shout. But do you still know what it means to weep? Do you still know how to weep to the Lord? Do you still know how to sob? Do you still know to lay before the presence of God and fall on your knees and just cry out unto him? Does it still burn deep inside of you, a burden for the lost? I'm talking about a kingdom that is in need of weepers, and I'm coming to a close. There needs to be a burden that just grips us, that it's okay to cry. You know, some of these tears aren't sad tears, but it's just the presence of God that I feel that I can't contain within myself. Or it's just the goodness and the faithfulness of God. It's the joy that God gives. These are those tears. They're not tears of sadness, but it's the tears of a burden unto the kingdom of God. For I want heaven to hear my voice, and I want the kingdom to recognize my tears, because I know there are power in my tears. If we can all lift our hands right now, I just want to say a small prayer before Brother Ronnie comes and takes over. That God, I pray that you would continue to stir our spirits this morning, oh God. That if you bring conviction into our hearts, God, to get a hold of prayer like never before, oh Lord God. That we know what it means to weep for your kingdom, oh God, to cry out, God. Whatever it takes, oh God, I want it to be done in me, oh God. That that you would break me, oh God, that you would mold me, oh God, that you would change me, oh God, that you would renew me once more, oh God.